Welcome back to another episode of Off the Rails. I'm your host, Imogen Marshall, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Madeline.
Madeline with a cup of already half drinking coffee this morning. It's early.
Oh, it's got to be done. Yeah, we're usually doing a Sunday afternoon, so this is a train on Monday morning. Got my coffee, the size of my face needed, and we're ready to talk all things. I think this is the week of Taylor Swift. So in the actual world of real life, I guess, while we're recording this, she has just dropped the first track from her re-recorded version of Fearless. How are we feeling about it?
I have a chance to listen to it before it came out when it was on the Match.com advert.
Oh, yeah. I thought for a minute you said I haven't had a chance to listen to it. I was like, well, what's the point in this episode?
No, because I love that, because I think they only played the chorus in the episode. They only played the chorus in the advert, and the advert was directed by Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. And the Match.com storyline had the best storyline ever of that Satan, and 2020 got matched up. But the re-recording sounds so nice and so fresh.
I also love the fact that everyone's like, oh my God, it's this amazing brand new track. And it's like, this track really, it's not that different, but it was, and it was released like 13 years ago, but I've still been acting like it's a brand new track.
Released 13 years ago, which is definitely done on purpose for Taylor Swift, the whole 13 years.
Of course.
I really like seeing everyone's comment about the artwork where she's wearing the kind of similar shirt to the guy who played Romeo. Yeah. In the music video, and everyone's saying Taylor Swift is now her own Romeo. Like, it's come full circle. And
okay, some people do need to stop diving in. Like, they go so far. Like, they go so far in the deep dive. And I'm like, is that? I mean, I get the fact that it's like a revamped version of the artwork. I get that. I'm not quite sure I'm going with the whole shirt thing, and it her being her own Romeo. Seeing that she's in a happy relationship.
Oh, we'll get on to that. We'll get on to that later, because the whole Folklore and Evermore worlds. We'll get on to that later.
Do you have tea?
I always have tea.
Okay. So I thought we were going to do a rating of the albums in celebration of Taylor Swift's revamped versions coming out on April the 9th, if you've deciphered the Easter egg in her artwork. So should we go from the bottom? So say our least favourite to favourite.
Okay. What is your least favourite Tay Tay album?
This was actually really hard for me to do. But I think I've written it down, and I think I'm actually going to change it very quickly. I actually think my least favourite is 1989. Spilling the tea. I think it's one of those ones where, I mean, I'm all for angsty teenage Taylor Swift, to be perfectly honest, along with, that's probably why I like Taylor, well, spoiler, to Evermore and Folklore are quite high on mine, because I think it's something to do with 1989. I just haven't gone back to those songs very often. Like, Wildest Dreams, yes, but I'm not like, I'm going to sit in my room and just listen to Wildest Dreams. You're like, I hate you. I can see the hatred coming through the screen.
No, I get that. And like, I think I only ever revisit Star really. And then I pretend to do like the runway walk that she done with special guests on tour. And I just see that in my room. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm here with Kendall Jenner and all the other people. I get what you mean. I don't think it's an album I can like lay down and like immerse myself in. I can't get lost in 1989, but I wouldn't say it's my least favourite.
I think just lyrically it is. I'm going to go with that. What's your least favourite? I feel like we're going to, literally, this might be the end of the podcast, guys.
I put that mine was her debut. Don't get me wrong. I love Our Song. Our Song was, and I think it still is, I'll have to double check my facts, that it's the youngest self-written country number one hit.
Interesting.
which is really, really good. And I
yeah,
get...
but she won CMA Entertainer of the Year back in the day, which is crazy.
Yeah. I remember when she won that and she's crying and she says, this is the highlight of my senior year. Like, she's so young. I don't forget how young
she is. Yeah, that's crazy. they were probably all like, fuck you, we've been working on this for like 30 years. Don't say it's the highlight of your senior year.
But the only reason I put the bottom, not that it's a bad album, it's the only album that doesn't have a concept.
That's actually a very good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
It's the only album
And I'm going to go for my second album now, my second least favourite. I actually think I'm going to go Lover. Merely because, again, it ties back to me liking angsty teenage Taylor. It is, I love Cruel Summer, False God, and I Forgot That You Existed. Those, particularly that last one, has been the highlight of my year.
I applaud for
for listening to that one. But I think for me, it was actually, it's been weighted down by the singles. I'm not like the biggest fan of oh my god, my brain's going to sleep now. I'm not the biggest fan of Me, and I'm not the biggest fan of oh my god, the other single,
You Need to Calm Down.
You Need to Calm Down. And I just think lyrically, it is not like, the singles aren't the strongest Taylor ever gets.
True, but do you not remember, is it called A Thousand Cuts?
Oh my god, and Paper Rings. But this is the thing, is that with every, this is all completely relative, because anyone who listens to this will get to realize, that's a Taylor stan over here. And I think that she's the lyrical genius. So if I'm honest, like, this is just a relative piece. I still love them all, I still ship them all, but this is just relatively, Lover is lower down on my list. How about you?
Because I put Lover as well. Purely because of the fact that I tend to not hold grudges, but I have the biggest grudge against Taylor Swift for not releasing Cruel Summer as a single.
I mean, true. Cruel Summer is a great track.
I like that during, I like the era that surrounds the album, but not the album so much. So I like that she became more careful. I like that her documentary came out.
That was one of the best music documentaries I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was really, really good. But then the album itself, again, wasn't, I think, the best album. I think it was just her trying to be bright and poppy again, in contrast to
Breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which leads me on to my next one, which is Reputation. And the thing is, for me, actually, the reason... So, if it was another artist, I would probably be like, this is the best album ever. But because it's Taylor, it wasn't my favourite. But the reason it's probably not lower down on my list for me is because it's still, I went to the Reputation tour, one of my best friends, and it was, I just have such happy memories of that tour and like that concert. But it can't detract from the fact that, like, it's a, for me, that's a running album. I'm not going to sit at home listening to it.
True. And I don't think, I know Delicate done really, really well, but I don't think there's any standout tracks for me in that album.
No. I'm trying to literally think. Like New Year's Day, I just like the last track. Interesting. I kind of liked it as like a standout moment in the journey of Taylor Swift, but also feel free to add in any of your tea sprinkles when you can think of them.
Okay, so again, I put Reputation at like third from the bottom of like least favorite. But again, I really like that. So the Reputation tour was the best ever. Not Taylor tour, it was the best tour of that year. It was the highest grossing tour. I remember there being like a massive spectacle of everyone saying, well, this album's gonna flop, this tour's gonna flop, and then Taylor Swift was like, oh, look what you made me do. I now have all these millions of dollar from how well this album's done.
Which is just kind of funny.
And then what I also find funny, first sprinkle of tea, the gap between 1989 and the gap between Reputation, there is no Calvin Harris album. It goes from talking about Harry Styles, forgets Calvin Harris, forgets Tom Hiddleston, moves on straight to Joe Alwyn. which
wait, I thought Reputation was the Calvin Harris to Tom Hiddleston one, because like Getaway Car.
Okay, so Getaway Car is the crossover of the Met Gala of Tom Hiddleston and Joe Alwyn. She has a line about like Buzz.
See, I thought it was Tom Hiddleston crossed with Calvin Harris.
No, I think there was meant to be. There was that whole phase where she like cut her hair really short, bleached it. She just written This Is What You Came For with Calvin Harris, and then we ended up singing it. I think there's like somewhere a missing Taylor Swift album that was supposed to be clubby and vibey and in Ibiza.
Oh my God, I'm really glad I've never heard that, to be honest. It might kill me. There's a reason why some albums are never meant to be heard. Interesting. I actually had never realised that. You just blow my mind.
It's mind blowing. And I know there's this whole like controversy of was Getaway Car another single that got robbed? But then I was thinking about it this morning, and I think
no.
A Swiftie song, I don't think he would have done that well on pop radio.
No, it's really interesting with singles. Like, it's just a game quite often. And I know I don't think that would have done as well. Right, on to my next one. Where have you done yours? No, what's your third? Favorite.
No, it was Reputation.
Oh yeah. Okay. Now onto mine. I put my fourth favorite as the self-titled one, just because like Tim McGraw, great track. It's the introduction to Taylor Swift. It like considering how young she was, there are an awful lot of very memorable tracks on that album.
Yeah, and I remember, and I think it's the CMA Awards where she won the Pinnacle Award, where she's singing Tim McGraw and she walks up to Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw. Apparently he was really funny about it when he first heard that she had a single. But think about it, like Picture to Burn, Teardrops on My Guitar, like those are still, I should have said no, they're still moments, our song. They're still songs that I still listen to. And that is crazy considering how young she was. So that's why I put that album there, because I kind of love the really vintage Taylor stuff.
True. However, I can kind of also understand why she skipped re-recording it.
Yes, true. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like an introduction thing, isn't it? It's the debut. But I think that's why I put it there, because I was more just like, it's very impressive considering, whereas the other ones I was like, maybe I just didn't like the pop era Taylor Swift as much.
No, I think we like curly-haired country.
We like curly-haired country, and then now, which is like natural and free. Okay, and what's your fourth favourite?
So I then finally put 1989. So the reason I kind of...
This was really hard, by the way.
It was really hard. I was like going through Spotify, I was like, what albums haven't I listened to as much as the other one? But I like that... It was probably her most cohesive album since Fearless. So you had Fearless, which is very, very extremely country pop. Speak Now was a bit patchy. And then, again, Red...
Knowing where I listed mine, I'm just like,
Speak Now was a bit patchy. Red was still even a bit patchy. And then at least 1989 was a whole full pop album.
Yeah.
And I get that. And outside of the album, leading up to this point, she had been like dragged through the dirt for going out with so many blokes.
Yeah.
So I understand why she was like, I'm now going to make an album about moving to New York. My friends are going to-
And claiming myself.
Yeah, my friends are going to be my focus. And it was also that really weird phase where she would always go to award shows with like a massive group of friends.
Yeah, her posse.
Yeah, and during like the 1989 tour, like always bring out her friends, which was good. But then at the same time, I'm like, this is just...
It felt more like a statement.
Yeah, and I was like, this is just another Victoria's Secret show at this point, because you're just Gigi Hadid and Kendall Jenner and Cara Delevingne.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I think it had some good singles, like Star, I think, was very good.
Yeah. I mean, they had some big singles from that one.
Star.
And then we'll talk about my next album, which has also got some big singles on it. But again, I've completely agree with the patchy. So my, because I put after that, so I guess this will be my fifth. So this is bang in the middle. We're at the midway point now. I put Red for the similar reason that you said. I think probably maybe I could have moved Red further down, if I'm honest. Controversial, I know, because loads of people say that it's her best album. I think because the single, again, I think it's, I've judged a lot of it by the singles. And for me, We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together and I Knew You Were Trouble are probably two of my least favourite Taylor Swift songs. Which I know is like, people like, excuse me, that the two of the biggest ones. I think because they're overplayed, partly.
Yeah, and one of them being made into a Vine probably wasn't the best thing.
Yeah, things like that. But I mean, All Too Well, State of Grace, some of the best tracks that she's ever written. Again, I think it was just that, I completely agree, it was the moment before 1989 where she still had like a tiny foot in country. So there's some still quite country sounding tracks, but it's almost like she hasn't completely committed to going pop yet.
Yeah.
But oh my God, you look down the list and you're like, treacherous. Like there's just, and I almost do, will forever be one of my favorite tracks. So what's your middle?
I like how your favorite tracks aren't any of the singles.
I think that's kind of the rule for me in life, though, is usually I like album deeper cuts. And that's not me trying to be indie. It's just because I prefer less catchy songs. So naturally, I will always prefer songs that aren't singles.
True. I have like the best memory of when Red came out. I remember Ed Sheeran at that time had just come out with like his debut album before he collaborated with Taylor Swift, and all of like the cool popular kids at my school used to listen to Ed Sheeran, and I'll be like, why on earth do you listen to country? And then I remember sitting next to this really mean girl in assembly, and then she was like, Madeline, and I was like breaking myself. I was like, oh my God, what bad she'd about to say to me. And she's like, so have you listened to Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift's new song? I've never heard Taylor Swift before and I actually quite like her. And I was like, yeah, I think it's an okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's okay. I haven't listened to it like 100 times and know all the words, it's fine.
Yeah. That's like, is there any other country music you can recommend? I was like, oh, I don't know. I have to think about it. I have nothing comes off the top of my head. Like, I'm like, Florida Georgia Line, like Cruise had just come out at that point.
Oh my God.
I remember blending the geeky and the non-geeky kids in my school.
I love that.
Everyone who listened to Ed Sheeran, like grime, folk Ed Sheeran, and everyone who listened to Taylor Swift.
Oh my God. That's so funny. So what's your middle album?
So Red was nearly my middle. And I know you're laughing me for this. My middle was Speak Now. I really like, okay, very much like you with this album, I like the songs that weren't singles. Dear John.
Yeah.
I love Dear John. I kind of go through phases of liking Enchanted and kind of not liking Enchanted.
Okay, we'll get to that
because it's
broken my heart a little bit.
Because it's so whimsical, and if I'm in a whimsical mood, it works very, very well. And I remember there being
biting my tongue here. Yeah, it's
and fine. Because I remember it being used in the adverts for when Taylor Swift went through her celebrity perfume phase of like Wonderstruck and Enchanted.
I actually don't think I ever saw those. I'm gonna have to Google it later.
Oh, it was the number one thing on my Christmas list back in like 2011.
Oh, bless.
And I really like Mine. I think Mine was such a grown-up song, following all the singles that have come out from Fearless. I do really like, because obviously after Fearless came out, Fearless, most awarded album ever, did really, really well. And then as soon as she got all these awards, people are like, actually, I don't think she deserves it. Her voice is a bit pitchy. We don't know how good of a songwriter she is because she's always writing with Liz Rose. And then I like that in this album, she's like, you know what? I'm going to prove that I'm a good songwriter. Here's Better Than Revenge. Yeah. Here's Dear John, all written by me.
Here's me. God, she's the queen of just being like, okay, you want to say that? You want to say that? Are you sure you want to say that? And then just going and just delivering. It's just like,
yeah.
Sometimes.
So I'm
super
breaking your heart with that one.
I actually think I might switch my next two around. Controversial in a moment. So I'm breaking the two up. I think I'm actually going to say Folklore is my fourth favorite. To be honest, my top four, it is just based on my mood on the day. The Folklore Evermore album duo, just I think it's just been, those albums have just grown and grown and grown and grown on me in a way that I just did not see coming. I think the only reason I'm putting Folklore further down is just I've listened to it less than Evermore, which I know most people have listened to Folklore more than Evermore. The One is just incredible. American Dynasty, like, it's just really shown her ability also to write songs that aren't necessarily based on relationships,
yeah,
being a little bit more introspective, being quite very clever. It's just very intelligent records, like, they're just very, but also accessible. Like, it's not like you would be like, I have to be really smart and intelligent to listen to this. They are so, they're so thoughtfully written. I think production is amazing. I love the shift. I think the only reason I'm putting Folklore further down than Evermore is just there's a few cuts on it that are not, like, I'm personally not the biggest fan of the cuts with Bon Iver. Hate me.
Yeah, it reminds me, her work with Bon Iver reminds me a bit of, you know, when she done her duet the last time with Gary Lightley.
And you're don't, you don't mean to.
Yeah, I'm just like,
okay, so what's your fourth?
So my fourth is Red. And only because I really liked she had quite a lot of drama going on during this album, and I feel like she really used that well on the album.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously during this time she's going out for Kennedy, and she wrote The Lucky One, which so I really like the stories that she had in this album. She had Starlight, obviously inspired by one of the Kennedys, and I I loved that she landed a Kennedy. I felt that.
I know.
Such an amazing summer. Again, working with Ed Sheeran for the first time. And then she's worked with Ed Sheeran again since. I do prefer Everything Has Changed over
Endgame. Oh, over Endgame. Yeah, yeah.
And then I've just seen that Endgame. I forget that she's worked with Future, and that is such an
odd for me. I think that's why I always put that record further down. Okay, my third then is Fearless. Again, I always forget how many tracks on that album I listen to on a very regular basis. Fearless itself, 15, Love Story, Hey Steven. I can't wait for the re-recorded full album. If Love Story is anything to go by, her vocal was just so much better in the re-recorded version. I mean, obviously she's older, she knows what she wants production wise. But if you actually listen to it, it's much more sophisticated production, I guess.
Yeah,
and the re-recorded version.
And you say about Hey Steven, I can't wait to hear the re-recordings of the ums that she does.
Yeah.
It's such a good album.
And like The Way I Loved You, like, there's just so, Breathe with Colby Kaya, like White Horse, You Belong With Me. There's just like, I really hope she does like a redone music video. How cool would that be?
Oh, that'd be so cool. Especially if it's for like a single that never came out.
No, if you do it for You Belong With Me, I'd love that. Like an adult version of it.
An adult version of You Belong With Me.
Yeah, I'd love it. Okay, what's your third?
So my third is Evermore. And don't get me wrong, I like Champagne Problems. I love Gold Rush. I love Gold Rush, so.
Yeah.
But Evermore does not have Betty, therefore it is number three.
Okay. That is fair. Okay, so I then we're going number two. So mine's Evermore. For the simple reason that happiness we'll listen to probably until the day I die. Champagne Problems. I think there's a lot more sort of clever things. Gold Rush. I think for me, I also knew maybe what to expect a bit more with Evermore, whereas Folklore was a bit of like, I was like, oh, it definitely took me a minute to be like, okay, this is the phase we're going into, because it was such a change from Lover to Folklore.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more poetic.
It's so yeah, so I knew what to expect. Willow is also a favourite. I just, No Body, No Crime, how could I forget? Like, that is one of the best songwriting moments that she's done in recent years, and I think it's so clever. It's the Dixie Chicks, you know, Goodbye Earl. It's her kind of the Chicks, Goodbye Earl. It's kind of a return to country without being, like, it's almost like her carving her own path. I just think there is not, for me, there isn't a bad track on that record.
There's not, and I love that she worked with Haim. I adore that she worked with Haim.
Yeah. Long story short, like, I just go down the list and I'm like, every single song on here is Imogen Antsy mood. I'm loving it. Okay, your number two.
My number two is Folklore. Literally because of Betty, I love the love triangle on Betty, and I love that it wasn't originally her idea. So this is where I can spill more tea.
Give you more tea.
So both on Folklore and Nevermore, she worked a lot with her boyfriend, Joe Aldwyn, the album. And they're obviously in isolation together, somewhere in London. We're yet to find their location and maybe bump into them.
I feel like it's like a Shoreditch like area, like it's somewhere a bit more edgy.
Yeah, a bit more edgy, a bit more sophisticated, a bit more security, but it's fine. So they're obviously isolating together. He plays guitar and he plays piano. He wrote the piano part for Exile, which is beautiful. And she walks in one day and he is singing the chorus to Betty. And she's like, oh, hi there, Joe. You know, this is what I kind of do for a living. And they finish writing the song together. And I like that he carried the chorus, because the chorus has like niche drama in it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's interesting how people start reading into it, because they're like, oh, there's like a love triangle, you know, is that Taylor, like, you know, coming, you know, telling a bit more stories about her sexuality. I don't know, because I think this album is a lot less autobiographical than a lot of her other records, but it's still very interesting.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know if you got the same vibe, but in Folklore I got very much James Taylor vibes throughout the whole piece.
Yeah,
because of how folksy it is, how, and like, I have to admit, she's Taylor Swift, very, very smart girl. She's very aware that she does not have to support this album with a 2-year tour. So she can be as slow and as folksy as she wants. She hasn't got to worry about that. Will this song match with Fireworks?
There's still moments where I'm like, oh, I can't wait to hear that live. Like, what is it? I think it's maybe in Champagne Problems. There's one line. I don't want to quote it wrong, because otherwise the Taylor Swift stans will come for me.
Are you talking about that certain part in the bridge? Yeah.
I'm sure I am. Wait, let me see if I can find it. Yeah, I think I'm going to know exactly what she meant. She would have made such a lovely bride. What a shame she's fucked in the head, they said. How good is that going to be live? She sings... she would have made them, and then everyone's going to scream. You know it's going to happen.
I just love how, obviously, the Lover Tour, the Lover Fest, because it's supposed to be a festival, doing it ahead. So you're going to have Lover stans, Folklore, people who are listening to the re-recordings of Fearless.
And I mean, I don't. Okay, so this is a question before we move on to our top one. Which one? We know which one you're going to be.
Well, the thing is, I just know that I'm going to probably be going through more costume changes than Taylor Swift at this concert.
I'm going to turn up in, like, Fearless costume, not going to lie. Or in, like a long coat, and I'll be like, yes, I'm Evermore and Folklore.
I'm Evermore and Folklore, and I just have, like, a sequin dress underneath for, like, when she's...
Yes, that's what we're doing, okay.
We're wearing layers, that's the answer.
Number one. Well, you can do a progressive elimination. So my number one is Speak Now, which I realize is probably a very controversial opinion, but Enchanted is my favorite Taylor Swift song. It's so whimsical. It's so, I don't know. It just speaks to, I think, a lot of moments in my teenage years, which I read into that what you will. But yeah, I think that's just an album that I go back to so often. Dear John, Mine. I think it was I think it is. I mean, it's Taylor when she was still classically country. But she's still already, like, it's just, the songwriting is good. I think I love pretty much every single track on the record. Better Than Revenge, Innocent, Haunted, Last Kiss, Long Live. For me, it also just, it's so much more mature than her years. And I just will always love that record.
I love that. If she's going to be re-recording her albums in order.
Can't wait.
So she just finished doing Fearless and she's probably now working on Speak Now. I would really love to see if at the moment there's a lot of drama between Olivia Rodrigo and Sabrina Carpenter's driver's license. I would love for Taylor Swift to bring on Olivia Rodrigo onto Better Than the Revenge. And
that would be the biggest revenge ever. Like,
I know that. And obviously, like you mentioned, Innocent. Which at the time was written as Taylor Swift saying, look, I forgive Kanye West for like going up to me and like snatching my moment away. But then obviously a lot more has been
happened.
So I wonder if she might have a bit of a rewrite of Innocent.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I think a lot of it will probably stick very similar, but it will be interesting to see how she does it all. I mean, I'm so excited here, and I don't even, it's like weird because it's the re-recorded versions, but I feel like they're just all being given a new lease of life, and it is just exciting. Okay, so what is your number one?
So my number one is Fearless for many, many reasons.
Okay. That's a weird, like, OG. Okay. Going back to the original album.
Well, it was the first album I learned to play on guitar. Like, this is the reason why I started guitar, because I saw You Belong With Me, and I was those are the kind of pajamas that I wear. I can so relate. It's just such a good album. I'm so gutted that when I was younger, I didn't realise tours were a thing. And she performed at Shepherd's Bush for like £12 a ticket. And I'm over it.
Isn't that weird? I'm not over it, to be honest.
It's definitely a lot cheaper, much, much cheaper than when I went and saw her during Reputation, but that's fine. I'm over that as well. And it's just such a good concept.
Inflation.
It's just a good concept album of growing up and realizing that love isn't like this fairy tale anymore. Like, you and your white horse. And then I think like she really went all out in this album. Like, I remember her saying in like an interview with Ellen when it had just come out that she thought the album was done, and then she had that 27-second breakup call with Joe Jonas, and she's like, "Well, here's forever and always." And on the tour, I remember when she performed that song. It was in like a documentary she'd done with like Good Morning America, I think. Whenever she performed Forever and Always, she's like acting out that she's in an interview being asked about her romance life, and like on like the tour performance, she like chucks the chair off the stage, and it's like that very angsty, very sassy Taylor Swift used to be extreme.
She was the definition of angsty teenage. Oh my god, what a catalogue. Well, let us know what you think. Don't come for us on the internet, but you can comment on our pages or give us a follow if you really think that it was really controversial, and let us know what your ultimate Taylor Swift rankings are. Okay, so we get into some other stuff. So what have you been listening to apart from Taylor Swift on repeat this week?
Still Taylor Swift, only because so obviously she released the tracking list for the album, and there's these six songs from the vault, and everyone's trying to figure out what these are. So I've been listening to my totally legal unreleased Taylor Swift stuff. Because originally there was this post on, this is going really, really back, on MySpace, of Taylor Swift writing the track listing in lipstick on a mirror, as you do, and Sparks Fly was on it. But then obviously Sparks Fly is now on Speak Now. There's quite a lot of different theories for what the six vault songs are going to be.
I think there'll be different ones. I don't think it'll be like the ones that they've moved to another album.
No, definitely not. So I'm wondering if like maybe she might have We Were Happy, which is a very, very whimsical song. Dark Blue Tennessee. I really hope she puts like Dark Blue Tennessee.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to go and look all these ones up.
I will send you the totally legal link for all of these.
Please do. Please do. I want it.
So I wonder what she's going to release. And I wonder if any of those six Vault songs will be maybe released as singles. So I'm gonna find that really interesting. And then also, I remember you saying earlier about how you really liked Breathe on Fearless with Colby Calais. Yeah. I wonder if she's going to be bringing back Colby Calais, because I haven't
heard that's true. It'll be interesting to see if she brings back people to do them with.
Aside from Taylor Swift, I've been listening to this really new artist, well, new to me anyway. I've been listening to Caroline Polachek. I will Spotify share you the link to her music. She has this song, Doors, and her voice is an instrument within itself. Like this riff in, I think it's like You're So Hot or something. And you're listening to like the riff in the beginning, you're like, oh, I wonder what instrument that is, and it's her voice. She's very Imogen Heap kind of stuff. Which I love Imogen Heap as well. I've just started diving back
in. Someone told me I looked like her the other day, and I was like, you're literally saying that because her name is Imogen. I don't look anything like her, and that's not an insult to her, that's not an insult to me. We just don't look alike. That would be like saying that I look like Selena Gomez. It's like, I don't.
Speaking of, Selena Gomez just came out of her first full Spanish album. Song,
yeah.
I have no idea what it's about, but it's beautiful.
I haven't listened to it yet. I will do, though. I have been on a massive Lainey Wilson kick, who her album, it will be out by the time this is posted. I'm a big fan of hers. I really like her as a person as well. I've interviewed her a few times. And she's a very, like, she's got very thick Louisiana accent. And her songs are just very clever and very much like, almost a celebration also of being our age, being single, and living your best life. And I love that. Her track, Saying What I'm Thinking, from which the title track on the record, is just so good. And as is Sunday Best, What Would Dolly Do, or WWDD. It's a really clever album, and I really want it to do well. That's one. And I've also just been listening to Carly Pearce on repeat, because her new collection, I'm not sure it's an album or a collection, is out on Friday, called 29, and it's obviously all about her divorce from Michael Ray, past year, losing Busby, her producer. And to be honest, I think she's been on fire. So the four songs I think that she's already released from that project, I have not stopped listening to since they got released. So I cannot wait to hear the whole collection. So that's what I've been listening to on repeat.
Well, I do really like Rainey Wilson and Carly Pearce. I remember when, I think it was the last CTC actually like happen. I met Lainey Wilson. I think she was filming in the Town Square tent. And we got in the queue to meet her. And the one thing I love about her is that she's the kind of girl that when you ask her where her clothes are from, she will tell you. Like, I remember saying to her, like, she was wearing like this really nice like 70s like kick flare
jeans. Yeah, she's very much about the flare.
And I went to her, I was like, oh, where are your trousers from? And then she's like, oh, they're from Cover My Moo Moo. Like, she has such a thick country. Yeah. And I was like, I wasn't expecting her to say. And then she's like let me show you the link. And she's like, it's this. And she's like, they're on sale.
I love that.
Well, I just love that, like, me and my sister-in-law were like so like in limerence Lainey Wilson, that like as we walked away we both ordered those jeans and we wore them really for a few weeks afterwards.
I love this.
And then I really like Carly Pearce, because I think at the time when she performed on the main stage at CTC, not too much was known about her, and she came across very, very sassy, which I really, really liked. And I think she just got engaged, and she's very, very sassy about showing off her ring and wearing high heels. And then I think she then introduced Michael Ray on the spotlight stage, because I think he followed her afterwards. And then obviously quite a lot has then since followed, which I'm really excited to hear about on her new collection.
I don't think we'll hear much of it, but it will be interesting to see if we can find out any more details from the record.
Yeah.
You're going to be quite private about it. So what have you been reading this week?
What have I been
reading? Or watching?
I might have this one. I've gone through like a phase of like Royal Mail will literally go to me now. Have you ordered from War Signs again? And I'm like, yep. They're like, oh, you must.
I've been ordering from Hive, which is like independent bookshop seller thing.
Well, they go. Well, the postman I went to me the other day, he's like, you must read books quite fast because obviously he can probably tell the weight of how many books are in. And I'm just like, no, I don't read books very fast. I just
order them.
I colour coordinate them on my bookshelf.
I love that.
And then I moan about how I never have enough time to read them as I'm spending time buying more books. So I've only literally just started reading The Push by Ashley Aldrin. Because I was going through such a phase of reading so many self-help books, and I find these get lost in something else. And I know it's
I've heard really good things about it, so yeah. I'm excited to teach it.
Yeah, like I know it's not like a cheerful, happy book to get lost into, but it's a dramatic book. And I think, I don't know why, I always find thrillers more believable than like romance books. But it's literally about this woman who's just had her firstborn child. And she kind of thinks that something's wrong with her child, but she can't quite put a finger on why. Her husband doesn't quite believe her that something's wrong. The doctors kind of believe her. So it's her just trying to figure out how to be a good mother and like how to help her child.
I love that. That sounds really good. I've heard very good things about it. So I'm excited to hear what you think.
What have you been reading this week?
So I have been still planning my way through Hood Feminism, which I'm not gonna lie, it's very dense. So it's been taking me a while. And then I read If I Had Your Face by Frances Cha, which was great. It's it kind of narrates the lives of four women in modern day Korea, in Seoul. And kind of it's not really a culture I know very much about. So I found it fascinating hearing about their experiences. There's so much stuff about beauty and plastic surgery and like problematic relationship with that, and how these people get into huge amounts of debt in order to do the surgery and things like that. I found the attitude towards sexuality really interesting, because there's like a side which is like very much like salons, which are almost like to me reading it, it came across like not brothel but kind of like a high class version of that. But then you have the other side, which is almost very prudish. They have like a celebrity couple that is announced, and they are hiding all these pictures of like her leaving his hotel room and stuff, because that's really taboo. And I just found it interesting seeing the family relationships and the independence of the women and their friendships. And it was just really fascinating, to be honest, in terms of just being about a culture I'd never read that much about. And then I am just finishing Transcendent Kingdom by Yaa Gyasi, which is out in March, so it'll probably be out by the time this is posted. Such a great read. I really like her Homegoing, which was her debut, and this is follow-up, and it just deals a lot with, it's about a lab scientist who grew up in Alabama, whose family are from Ghana. And it's just about like family relationships, about drug addiction. There's so many issues in here, and I love it. It's beautifully written. Like, she's just such a phenomenal writer. And I highly recommend it. So that's what I've been reading this week. Is there anything else that you've been obsessing with?
What have I been obsessing with? And again, it's hard to follow finding something decent to watch on Netflix since Bridgerton.
I watched All the Boys I've Loved Before, Always and Forever, the last one.
It was
exactly what I needed. It was sugary sweet and just hit the right note.
That's such a contrast to what I've rewatched. I've started rewatching Fleabag.
Oh, I love it.
I've just got to the episode where, like, the priest is now becoming like a main character, which I love. I love the priest in Fleabag. And there's times where it's slightly office-like, that I'll be working and then someone will say something and I'll just look at that kind of imaginary camera, like in Fleabag. Did you kind of like see that as well? Like, I'm just like pretending I have like this invisible like fourth wall to my life, like I'm like Ferris Bueller or something. But yeah, I've just been rewatching for comfort Fleabag.
Love that. Well, I guess that probably brings us to the end, unless you have anything else you want to go over.
I think that's the most amount of drama I've had. Like, this is my quiet week. Not too much drama.
Yeah. Okay, so let everyone know where they can find you.
I do really, really, really need to change my handle at some point.
But at the moment,
maybe I'll run a contest to see who can come up with the best one. So my handle is Mandolin7. So it's basically Madeline. Replace the A with an underscore 7 because for some reason all the other Mandolin were taken. Imogen, where can we find you?
You can find me at Imogen L. Marshall on Instagram or follow our website at www.offtherecorduk.com. So yeah, have a great week. Bye, everybody.